Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. As the man said, I'm working towards it. And so are you. Wonderful day. You're starting to smell autumn in the air. I can't believe it. I don't know why it keeps going so fast. Adaptogenic herbs. I want you to have an understanding. I want the autumn to be a time for you, as we approach winter, for you to get ready for the new year, only in autumn. What do I mean? I mean I want you to get your edge over the next 4 months by understanding how to use plant medicines that we call the adaptogens. And if you understand the full context of the word adaptogen, you'll understand how to benefit, without which you're just going to pop pills and not get the bullseye. Adaptogenic herbs. When I say an adaptogenic herb, I mean cordyceps. I mean reishi. I mean ginseng. I mean deer antler. I mean royal jelly. I mean soma. I mean ashwagandha, and so on and so forth. Adaptogenic herbs in the tradition of herbal medicine are herbs that, well, it's a very broad spectrum term we use today that can ensure us that the herb that we're ingesting may give us an antioxidant boost. It may protect the liver. It may improve your blood sugar metabolism. You may not crave alcohol or sugar. It'll increase your immunity, increased energy, stamina, improve your muscle tone, increase your strength. You can recover faster, improve your memory, less anxiety, better sleep, better mood, so on and so forth. All that culture that's so pro-America, pro-stay young forever, pro-live forever, longevity, sail on into your later years vibrantly, is under the dome of the term adaptogenic herb today. And these things do deliver, but you have to understand the context. And of course, the purpose of this show is to give you a clearer context. I started out using these on people, expecting certain levels of results that the manufacturers claimed they would experience, and I didn't quite see it measure up, which was curious because I knew I had very good sources, very good products, very, very reputable growers, manufacturers, so on and so forth, and I never really saw it measure up to the claim, nor did I ever see the adaptogenic herbs produce effectively the results that the legends talked about. And this is really what I want to harp on today, the legend of the adaptogenic herb, because that's where the magic is. We're going to study some of these herbs today. I hope you're on the website. That's straighttalk.cc. If you're new to the show, straighttalk2t's.cc, not .com. If you're driving, you can't. But if you're at home, I really hope you're on that site. Why? Well, we're going to study these herbs from a couple of perspectives, one of which are the hard scientific perspectives. And what you understand, of course, is that these herbs are studied by scientists in different facets of science, and then publications are made as to understanding whether or not you can make these claims, authenticate the claim of something like ginseng or soma or reishi or deer antler velvet, so on and so forth. And you're going to see some of these articles today. I put two of them on the site. Click to view the full article on cordyceps inhibits protein synthesis, and then the other article on adaptogenic herbs. I put these on, and they're going to talk about the science. At the same time, The science is only there to study these herbs because these herbs are in tradition. They are in a long tradition of herbalism, which dates back many, many thousands of years. So the combination of those two perspectives, the scientific one and the one in the legend of herbal lore, that combination is really what we're looking for here. Okay. First, when you purchase these herbs, let's get into a couple of general parameters about adaptogenic herbs and how they're supposed to function. Adaptogenic herbs are subject. In other words, they'll work or they won't work based upon certain parameters. I could say it like this. Adaptogenic herbs, contrary to the way you look at ginseng or the way you look at reishi or the way you look at soma or the way you look at, deer antler, contrary to the way you look at them, we have an issue as far as you have to show up to the herb, meaning you have to present yourself in a way where you can receive the herb. That's a big statement. That's not the way you would understand it. Herbalism, manufacturers, advertisements, so on and so forth. I put a number of them on the website. These are good companies. Some of them make excellent products. Certainly, Premier Research Labs makes an outstanding product in a number of ways. Ron Teagarden, Dragon Herbs, also puts out an outstanding product. These herbs really do support their claims. They work in that adaptogenic way. But, and this is my point, you have to show up for the herb. Now, that's different than the way the consumer thinks. The consumer thinks you just take the herb and you see if it works, as if the herb didn't work for me. So you take deer antler, or you take cordyceps, or you take reishi and you say, gee, I took it, I looked at the claims, and I didn't feel it. It didn't work for me. Wrong. Those herbs never fail. They never fail. You fail. Now, that's a big one. It's not the herb didn't work for you. It's you didn't work for the herb. So if you trace the origin of these herbs, they go back many, 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 many thousands of years. And here's the key point. You have to work for the herb. You have to prepare yourself for the herb to have the optimal effect. The people who wrote of these herbs, the people who publish on these herbs, not the scientists that are studying them today, but the herbalists that go back thousands of years that contributed to the folklore, if you will, of how these herbs work, meaning that if you take these herbs, you'll live forever. You'll live a long time. You'll be 125 years old, fathering children. These sorts of claims behind many of these herbs from all seven continents came out of ecosystems. They came out of jungles. They came out of fertility. They came out of lifestyle. And the people who used these and wrote down, whether it was hieroglyphics, whether it was Sanskrit, whether it was ancient Chinese, whether it was Aramaic, the claims they made were in response to taking these herbs in the context of those environments. When you take these herbs out of those environments, you're not even talking about the herb anymore. That's big. That's really big. Now, America's great. Of course it is. That's why we're here. America's great for extrapolating out of other cultures. If it's world known, Americans take it, and Americans bring the great synthesis, the diversity of opinion around, say, an herb, and they try to make it better. And sometimes we hit, and sometimes we miss. I always make that analogy to Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee studied the martial arts in China. He mastered Wing Chun, which was actually a martial art that originated with a woman, with a Chinese nun, to protect herself from bands of thieves, as the story goes, and it's a true story. I think it was about 900 A.D. And Bruce Lee started studying Wing Chun. And then when he came to America and he worked in the restaurant and then he got involved in Hollywood and the rest, you know. But in the early days, he found that he had to start to do that American thing, which was to take tradition and start to integrate it into the American way, meaning he brought in boxing, he brought in jiu-jitsu, he brought in wrestling, he brought in wing, he brought in many other martial arts, he brought in taekwondo, he merged it together and created Jeet Kune Do, the eclectic martial art, absorb what is useful. Now America tries to do this with herbalism, but the thing with the adaptogenic herbs that you have to be careful of is America, and partly out of expediency, is making a few mistakes. Now, one of those mistakes is classic. I want you to go to picture number 19. Go to picture number 19. So you're on the website, straighttalk.cc. You're in the show section, and there you go, picture 19. Now, there's a claim by a gentleman named Paul Stamets, very intelligent mycologist. He's got a tremendous knowledge of fungus, and he's making a cordyceps. It's a vegetarian capsule. It's a good product. The thing is, and this is my point, this is America doing what America does. It's taking cordyceps out of its habitat. This is not cordyceps grown in the habitat cordyceps was discovered in. Cordyceps grows in northern China. Cordyceps grows at very high altitudes. I'm going to show you a picture of cordyceps, but my point here is, as Americans, what we tend to do is we take traditions and we transplant them onto American soil, and because we have a lot of knowledge, we say, well, we can produce something that's very, very good. Now, the side note is cordyceps, because the ecosystem is disappearing, is becoming more rare, senesis. And on that basis, we have American companies. Stamets is one of them, taking all their knowledge and then saying, I'm going to grow this in America. So this isn't a criticism, but this is not wild cordyceps. This is a cordyceps, which is, well, we'll talk about its purpose later, but the point now is it's grown in America, in habitats that are controlled. And this is that age-old thing. Do we get it from the wild, or do we get it from the habitat that we influence? And my wisdom to you is go for the wild-crafted herb. Now go up and look at picture number, good, picture number 18, just next to the 19. 18. That's northern China. That's basically the Himalayas. And this is where cordyceps grows, wild. And what you're looking at, if you check another picture I put on the site, picture number 15. Cordyceps is fascinating. Some of you know this product as Premier Research Labs manufactures this under the name Adrenovin. Very high-quality product, Adrenovin. It's cordyceps, cordyceps sinensis. And there you have cordyceps. Cordyceps is a caterpillar that's parasitized by a fungus. That fungus grows in the feces of a bird that drops on to the caterpillar. Amazing. Now look at that picture, and then go to picture 14 next to it. And there's picture 14. That's cordyceps. Now, if you get that out of the wild, and then you dry it in the sun, and you get it out of the habitat it involved in, it's a whole other level. So granted, we may need to grow it in America, but if you want your bang for the buck, buy it. If you can get it, buy it wild. Now that's the competitor's edge. That's the athlete's edge. And we'll talk about cordyceps later. And we can talk about cordyceps now as a scientific article. I'm not going to yet. But up on the top, we have cordycepin. That's one of the components, ingredients in cordyceps that they studied, that they know it does a bunch of things that are good for you. But that's really a very tiny part of it. So, first concept.